going to talk about hospitality all wrapped, because that really is the story of God. Isn't it the story of God coming in and invading our world and loving us, and in loving us, inviting us to love us? We're going to read this morning from the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, where Dr. Luke records these words. When he noticed how the guests picked a place of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will have to come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteousness." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At that time, the banquet, he sent the servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on the way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I cannot come.' Then the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told the servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be filled. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" I was invited to a dinner. Actually, it was a wedding. And I sent in my reply on time. When I got to the wedding, my name was nowhere on the chart. And so I went to the people that were there, showing me where to sit. My name's not on the list. And they said, "There's no place for you." But I said, I sent in my registration. And so they began, they were really organized people. They had this file chart, and I sent it in, but they said, "There is no place. We can't add another seat." And then the bride and the groom came, true story, and said, "Make room." I was to be seated close to the back, but they said, "Make room close to the front." And so they rearranged the table, added another chair, and my name was added to the chart. And they said, "Come to the banquet." This morning, I want to talk to you about radical hospitality, because I think that's what that was. Radical hospitality, and I love the statement, involves letting others into the center of our lives. Radical hospitality is letting others into the very center of our lives. Here's a prominent religious leader. He's a Pharisee. So we're going to just call him a religious leader. And he is throwing a dinner, and he decides that he's going to invite Jesus to this dinner, hoping to be repaid by Jesus at some point. And those who are in your community get a sense that they belong and they matter, and it takes on a life of its own. But Jesus also knows that if you're going to throw a party, you got to figure out how many guests are coming so that I don't get left out. You got to figure out how much food to have, how many places to sit. You got to figure where you're going to see people, how you're going to arrange everything. And here, this religious leader invites Jesus for one of two reasons. He either wants to trap Jesus, hoping that Jesus will do a healing on the Sabbath, and he did. Or this religious leader simply wanted to get something back from Jesus. But here's what I love. If you read the parable, you're going to realize that something wonderful and something profound begins to happen. Jesus gives him exactly what he needed and not what he wanted. Jesus said, the next time you throw a party, invite the lame and the poor and the crippled. No one's to be left out of the kingdom. No one's to be left out of the circle of our lives. Now, why does he say that? Well, over the next few weeks, I want to unpack that, but I think there's five reasons. The first one is in Deuteronomy 10:19, where Israel is reminded, remember that they were strangers, they were aliens in Egypt. He said, you know what it's like to be left out. You know what it's like not to be included. So hospitality, inviting others into your life, is something you should get. Second is in Matthew 18, verse 5, where it says, whoever welcomes a child welcomes me. In Hebrews 13, he says that you don't know when you welcome someone into your circle of life, you just might be entertaining angels. Romans 15, 7 tells us that we're to welcome each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then Matthew 25 tells us that when we welcome a stranger, we welcome Jesus. Radical hospitality involves letting other people into our life. I think, you know, we've got some great opportunities coming up. As you're probably aware, there are a number of Syrian refugees coming to our country. What an opportunity for the church to welcome these people who have been persecuted, who have been fleeing and are looking to begin a new life. Maybe we sponsor our refugees. Maybe we bring clothes, or when they arrive, we provide a meal. Maybe we're at the airport to see, welcome to Canada, when many people don't want to be here. Picture what it's like for us as a host to welcome new people into our country. Picture what it's like for a church who does what we did this morning, where people who walk into a church have someone to actually say hello to them. Have you ever had that where you walk into a church and no one's even welcome you, no one talked to you? You know, this is a great idea. Because as people walk to the door, we get to begin a new life together. Hospitality is there because God showed us hospitality. Hospitality is there because God wants us to do it. Hospitality is there because God loved us and we love other people. I've been thinking all week about that video that we saw. And the only thing that I keep coming up with in my mind is, who can I love this person? And God says, if you know the child of the nature, hospitality isn't an option. It's an expectation because we know what it's like to be loved. And yet, I got to admit, I don't know what it's like for you, but it is hard for the church to sometimes even love each other. And then he says that we are to love the stranger. And here's what I begin to hear. You know what? We love young people just don't act like a young person. We love kids. You know what? Just stay out of the way. You know, we'll welcome you into the life of the church. Just be like people that have been a part of the church for 30 or 40 years. I think it's hard to practice hospitality you are either seated by your place of prominence or by your relationship to the host. Now, community church, I don't know if you knew that, we're throwing a big party. And we've invited some very special guests. Justin Trudeau's coming. Kathleen Wynne's coming. Bill Gates is coming. And Tay-Tay's coming. Taylor Swift is coming. And we're going to have a party. And as the pastor, I ceremonially get to be the host of the party. And so we began to set up chairs and all made it all the way to the back. And all the arrangements are there. And you're all invited. And people started to gather in. And where do you think that the Prime Minister, the Premier, Tay-Tay, and Bill Gates would sit? You think they'd be in the corner over there? Do you think they'd be in the middle, or do you think they would get to sit with me? Well, here's the interesting thing. We all assume that that's the case. And so they make their way, and I've already seen the table with Carmen, and as the chair of council, Theo's sitting there, getting ready to sit down. And now picture the horror when Theo needs to go to the Prime Minister and the Catholic and send him sword. This isn't where you're sitting. You're at the table behind the pole. And now Bill Gates, well, we're going to put him by the sound. And Tay-Tay, well, she's going to sit at the back as well. Picture the horror when, by their position, they assume they got to sit in the place of honor. And now picture you're seated already. And Theo comes to you from behind the pole, or over there, or at Tay-Tay's table, and they says, no, you come. Maybe you're new to the church, maybe you know nothing about God, maybe you're on the down and out, maybe you're on the fringe of the church. And Theo says, no, I want you to come and sit at the table with us. That's the picture of what God wants us to understand about hospitality. Because picture now, those who thought they should sit back there get this place of honor. It says that they matter, that they belong, that they're valued, and that they're important to us. And that's God's desire for us. Because now, this circumstance turns strangers into friends. But he's taking it beyond the banquet. Remember, radical hospitality is allowing people into the very center of our lives. Now, you need to picture the Middle Eastern mindset, because I don't think we understand it. Because there, the Middle Eastern mindset, the home was the very center of life. The home is where they did community, where they did life, where they rejuvenated. Homes today, we have big, thick doors that close. We have high fences. We have blinds that block everything else that nobody can see in. But to the Middle Eastern hearer, what he is talking about, inviting them into their lives, it is the very fabric, it is the core of their life. It is a place where they are rejuvenated and they're renewed. And he says, you need to invite people. Our passage mentions three people. The first is fellow Christians, yet they can be strange. They can be strange. They can also be strangers because we don't all really know each other. We may know of each other, but he says, as the body of Christ, invite each other into your homes so that you can become friends, that you can be a family. Engage in each other's lives. Now, how do we do that? Well, let me start on the peripheral and move into the house. We can do that by being a part of a small group this afternoon. You can do that by being a greeter or an usher as people come in. You can do that by supporting the work of the deacons and encouraging us to do life with them. But can also be inviting someone over for coffee or for lunch. Inviting people to your birthday, to your anniversary, to the big events in your life. We can build community, inviting people into our lives, by sharing in the things that we enjoy. Maybe it's a hobby or something like that. That's how we begin to make friends that were once strangers. The second thing he talks about is the strangers in the passage. These would have been the non-Jews. These would have been the outcasts of society. We can say that these are our neighbors. These are those that are on the fringe of the church. These are the people that are on the fringe of the places where we work. He says, that's the second group that we need Invite them to come to your favorite activities. Invite them to come over and watch a sporting event. The same this February, when there's a Super Bowl. Have a bunch of people over as the Saints go on and the Saints win the Super Bowl this year. But then there's also the poor. In a place of privilege, in a patriotic society, the poor would never have been invited to the feast that Jesus said they could come to. And here's why. They could never repay. Because you see, if you were invited to a party, it was expected that you invited that person back over. And the poor would not have the means to do that. So how do you and I turn the poor from strangers into our friends? I think we do that in a lot of great ways. One of the ways that we do that is for our Thanksgiving dinner, where people can come. If you don't know about this, every Thanksgiving we do a dinner for the community for $2. And people can come and have a meal that they may not have otherwise had. We turn strangers into friends by, in a very real way, offering clothing to our clothing closet. We give people the opportunity to come to our church because we don't charge for any programs. We do that when we sit next to each other and we have coffee and we do life together. And here's the interesting connection to what we're doing. Because God as the great host is throwing a banquet. And he shows us what it's like to be that kind of host. Because he says, go out and get the poor and the blind and those who would not be invited, invite them to come in. But then he says, we're still not full. So go out wherever you can and bring whoever you can in to hear the story of grace, to hear the story of the love of God, to hear the story of how you can be a part of God's great big family. It's the story of Christmas, isn't it? And God says, go out, go out, go out. And why? Because empty seats annoy God. Empty seats says that there's room for more. Empty seats tell us that there's room in the family of God. But like Pastor Jack alluded to in the children, I have bought me a cow, I have married a wife, I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Maybe you know that children's song, I cannot come. We hear that today, don't we? I can't come and check out God. I can't check out God because, you know what, I know Christianity's track record. I know the problem of evil and suffering and I can't reconcile. I can't come. I can't come because there's a football game last on this afternoon. I can't come because, you know what? I got hockey and then I got dance and then I got soccer. And you know what? I just don't got time for church. I can't come because I want to retire in 20 years and I'm going to work as much as I can so that can happen. I want a 4.0 GPA, so you know what? I don't have time because I'm going to study every waking moment of the day. But Jesus breaks into that story and he says, God, there's a banquet. And the banquet will be in eternity. We can already begin to live out of it right now. Come to the table. Come to the family of God. Come to the place where you can be renewed, rejuvenated, filled with grace. Here's why it's important, because it says the table is a place of grace. The table is a place where our life happens. The religious leaders and the teachers of the law would sit around tables and talk. We do that too, don't we? Tables were the place where your identity was marked. Table was a place of belonging. You already hear those words where Jesus would come and they would say, well, but you're eating with the tax collectors. You're eating with the prostitutes. What are you doing? Because Jesus understood this. Those that we eat with say who's in and who's out. And Jesus says, there's room. He says to you and I this morning, go out and reach those who are unlike you.
I'm a friend of your neighborhood. I'm a friend of the place where you work. Why? Because he's ruined the family of God. The religious leader assumed that this radical hospitality was something for the future. But God says, no, it's something for today. It's something for you and for me. And here's what I hope you get. If you are a part of this great big family of God, God says, now's the time to come. You're coming to meet the Savior. And if you know something about this great banquet, that the Messiah who came into the world for us, he says, now's the time for you and I to invite everyone to come and worship. Radical hospitality, I love this, as inviting others into God's presence while going above and beyond expectations in order to welcome, receive, include, and support others, especially those not there yet. Making room for the neglected, intentionally letting the marginalized into our fellowship is more than just being friendly. It's being radically hospitable. But it's costly. I mean, I don't need steak and caviar, but if you're going to invite me over, I like steak and caviar. But you know what? Food, like soup and buns, cheese and crackers, is good enough. But it costs. It's also going to be costly because we have to allow people into our space. And here's the interesting thing. Most people don't care if your house is messy. People just want to know that they belong and they're accepted. It's going to be costly because it needs time. Time to get ready, time to have people over. It's going to be costly of your energy, especially if you are not an extrovert. It's going to be costly because it means you need to give up your life. Because it's going to cut into your family time. But think of Jesus as that ultimate host this morning. And we think about inviting people into the life of the church. People don't need to be told what they need to do. People come into our lives, people come into the doors of the church with many needs. Most of them aren't conscious. People need to know, though, that God loves them, that they belong, that they matter to God. People need to know how to reconcile themselves with God and with each other. And the most effective way for you and I to do that is to invite people into our story. How do you love someone this Christmas? You know what? Invite them into your hockey game. Invite them into your Pilates class. Invite them into your small group. Invite them to come and eat with you. Maybe even this Christmas, invite someone to have Christmas dinner with you that doesn't have a place to go. I love this. I came across this week. Radical hospitality is the intentional removal of anything that would hinder that experience. In other words, radical hospitality is the foundation to the proclamation of the gospel. So we have from Jesus. He says, there's a great feast. Open the door and invite anyone who will come. I think that's our challenge, isn't it? To invite people into our lives, our story, so that his story would be proclaimed. And here's what I hope you will be asking yourself this morning. Because God invited me into his story, whose story can I enter into? And who can I love this Christmas? God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to open our doors this morning. But how nice it was to hear the conversation that was going on as we were getting ready for the service. Lord, entering into each other's lives and their stories. And then be able to be in here this morning to hear from you, God, because we want to hear from you. We want to see you. part of what you are doing, not only in our story, but in the world. Lord, may you speak into our story this morning that we would ask this week, you know, whose story can we enter into? Who can we say, you know what? Hey, there's a chair next to me next Sunday and it's got your name on it. And you know what? Come on early and meet a bunch of people. Lord, we thank you that you have so much room in your kingdom. And we pray that this Advent season, that week by week as we move closer and closer to Christmas, that you would bring new people into our story. And as they enter the door of this building, we would say, hey, it's good to have you. We're glad you're here. And Lord, as we think of that story, we think of our congregation. And Lord, as we think of our need and our dependence on you. Lord, we want to pray for Gail, for Dan, and for Carol. We pray that day by day that you would refresh them, that they, you would strengthen them. And that you would touch their lives in a very powerful way. And that, Lord, as we wait for you to do great healing in their bodies, we pray that you would refresh their spirit, that you would strengthen them, and you would sustain them. And that they would know how dearly loved they are. In order to think of that great love and living out of that love, Lord, we just pray that you will be with Marian Wilcock, Lord, as she prepares to go off on a short term mission project. We pray that you would keep her safe. We pray that you would protect her spirit. We pray that she would be a huge blessing as she reaches out in your name. We pray through her words, but Lord, we pray through her heart, and through the practical ways in which she'll serve, that, Lord, many lives may be touched, and that others would come to the door of your church and hear of your great love. Would you bless her trip? Would it be a profound thing, not only for her, but for those to whom she will touch? Would you be Phil and Jeanette? Lord, as they serve you in Wasna, and Lord, we just pray that you would watch over them, you too would protect them, and Lord, that there would be much fruit, Lord, through their service in the Lord, in the work of agriculture and healthcare. We pray for doors because of that to be open to share of your great love. We pray that they may be a witness not only to the people of that community, Lord, but to their fellow workers. Lord, we think of your work here in this church. We thank you for the many ways, Lord, that our doors are saying, come on in. There's room. We pray, Lord,